everything on my own. Make mistakes, I often slip. Just common flesh and bones. But I'll prove someday just why I say I'm of a special kind. For when he was on the cross that day, I was on his mind. For he knew me, yet he loved me. He whose glory makes the heavens to shine, and so unworthy of such mercy. Yet when he was on the cross, I was on his on his face. The thorns were on his head. Blood was on his scarlet robe. It stained the crimson red. Those eyes were on the crowd that day. He looked ahead time, and when he was on the cross, I was on his mind, for he knew me, yet he loved me. He whose glory so unworthy of such mercy. Yet when he was on the cross, I was on his mind, for he knew.
Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews chapter 3. The book of Hebrews was written very early in the Christian time frame. It was written especially for the Jewish Christians who had turned their back on the temple, the priesthood, and looked forward to the cross where Christ died for them and put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And there was a concern that these might think about going back to the Old Testament way rather than keeping their eyes focused on the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the book of Hebrews, I believe, written for that reason. And what I'm doing here is showing throughout the book of Hebrews that the New Testament or the New Covenant is better than and takes the place of the First Testament or the Old Testament or Old Covenant because its founder, that would be the New Testament's founder, the Messiah, is better than, we've already seen that he's better than the prophets of the Old Testament. He's better than the angels seen in the Old Testament. And now tonight we want to go a little bit further and see that he is better than Moses of the Old Testament. And you say, great. What's that going to do for me? I hope it is going to make you more consecrated to the Lord than ever before. Because you, as a result of seeing this, ought to say, my Savior is a wonderful Savior. And there's none better than he. And if the Jewish early Christians who had trusted Christ are being encouraged and exhorted to take their eyes off of the temple, the priesthood, the sacrifices, Moses, and keep their eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ, then I even more so ought to love my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and serve him with all my heart, soul, and strength. That's how you should respond to these things. It's not just good data to be putting into your brain that, yes, Jesus is better than Moses, and we've got the scriptures there. It ought to spur you on to more dedicated love and service to the Lord Jesus Christ. Between now and the time that you die or were raptured up into heaven, these things ought to cause you to say, what else can I do for my Lord and Savior? How can I serve him better? How can I love him better? How can I devote myself to him better? How can I share him with others that I know better? Yes, that's the goal of our preaching here tonight. Hebrews chapter 3. Notice how the exhortation just starts right out. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession. And only if you have a King James Bible are the next two words there. Okay? That's why you hear us say, we use the King James only here. You know why? All the other versions omit the precious names of my Lord and Savior, Christ Jesus. They're gone out of the other versions. That's just gone. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession. Period. Leave the words that have been in there for over 400 years in the English translation and are in the Greek manuscripts, the testimony of which there are over 5,000 of them, against the testimony of the new modern versions, Greek text, where two main manuscripts are being used to change everything. Now, leave it alone. Leave it there. Leave it right there. And it's the only English translation you've got that has it in there. And so hang on to it. Die for it if necessary. All right. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus. The call to consider Jesus as compared to, and as we'll see in the verses following, as compared to Moses. Now, who's being addressed here? Now, I know I've told you the book of Hebrews is written especially for those newly saved first century Jewish believers. But I want you to know that they need to consider themselves to be of a different group now, just as you and I consider ourselves to be of a particular group. And what is that group? It's the church of Jesus Christ. And here it is. Wherefore, holy brethren. The word holy means set apart ones. Set apart brethren. Set apart from what? Set apart from the Old Testament economy that they were once under before hearing the good news about Jesus Christ fulfilling the old economy, the Old Testament, and everything it looked forward to. They were called out of that. Do you know, at the time of this reading, there are a lot of their brothers, as far as their national identity as Jews, who are still sitting under the Old Testament. They're still sitting under the priesthood, the temple. At this time, the temple was still standing in Jerusalem. The priesthood was still going on. The veil was there. Even though it was rent from top to bottom when the Lord died on the cross, they sewed that, I assume, they sewed that thing back up and made the way into the Holy of Holies unaccessible again. And it is unaccessible according to their ways at this point, because Christ hath made a new way, a living way. And not only that, Jesus Christ is said now to be the very veil itself. And you'll see that as we continue on in the book of Hebrews. Jesus is the veil. And if you want to get behind the veil, you've got to go through Christ. Not through sacrifices, not waiting for the Day of Atonement, not hoping that the high priest is right with God so that he can get all the rest of you in there with him. No. That is an old economy which these readers of the book of Hebrews are being called upon to consider the Lord Jesus Christ. They've been taken out of that economy and put into a new economy. What do I mean by economy? From the Old Testament to the New Testament. From the Old Covenant to the New Covenant. Go with me to Jeremiah chapter 31. Jeremiah chapter 31. I've often read this. I just read it again. Sometimes people say things like this: familiarity breeds contempt. But I can't say that about God's word. Okay? I can't say that about God's word. I would say familiarity with the word of God breeds more appreciation and love for my Savior. It just gets better and better and better all the time. Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 31. Behold, the days come. Here's the prophet Jeremiah. Is he under the old economy or new economy? Which one? Old. And look at what he says here. This is long before Jesus even was born, died on the cross, and rose up from the grave. Long before that, hundreds of years. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break, although I was an husband unto them, saith the Lord. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people. They shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they shall all know me. You know, now how is that accomplished? It's only accomplished through the New Testament and through the ministry of the Holy Spirit of God, who comes in the moment you trust Christ as Savior, and he teaches you all about the Lord. And we don't have to say to each other, know the Lord, for we'll all know him, because we'll have the teacher right inside of us, the Holy Spirit of God. From the least of them unto the greatest of them. from a six-year-old child who trusts Jesus Christ as personal Savior, all the way up. Didn't we hear some say 64 you got saved? Some maybe a little older than that, you got saved. From the least to the greatest. From those who know a little bit to those who are very intelligent. Doesn't matter. We can all know the Lord. We can all learn about Him. That's the new covenant. Jeremiah is talking about a day when the people under his hearing are going to be under a new covenant. And the writer of Hebrews is saying, hey, you folks who are under this new covenant, I want you to consider something. I want you to consider a person, Christ Jesus. And he speaks of them as being holy, set apart from the old into the new, brethren. And he uses the word brethren. He doesn't say holy Israel. He says holy brethren, which makes them part of a group called brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ. Set apart brethren. They're in a new group now called brethren. It's not a national call here. It's a call to those who have been set apart and now are brethren. And I believe it has reference to brethren in Christ. Partakers of the heavenly calling. Now, Israel has an earthly calling. When God said to Abraham, Abraham, I want you to leave Ur of Chaldees, pack up and go to a land that I'll show you of. He did. He left, went to the land. When he finally got there, and there were, of course, a lot of things that happened in between. He finally got there. The Lord said, see this land? You see that? Walk through the land. Wherever you walk, I'm going to give it to you. I'm going to give it to you and your family and your seed for an everlasting possession. It was an earthly promise, an earthly calling. And as you go through the Bible, the Lord keeps reminding, one of these days, even though Abraham's dead and in the grave, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob are going to dwell with me, God says, in that land. Well, what is this? Partakers of the heavenly calling. Wow. In my Father's house are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. John chapter 14, verses 1 through 6. John's telling his disciples, you're coming with me to heaven. I'm going there. Where is the high priest of our confession? He's up in heaven right now. He's not on earth. He's not dwelling here. He hasn't set up the kingdom. He hasn't raised up Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and David, and Isaiah, and all the rest of the faithful Old Testament saints to go with him into the kingdom. He hasn't done that. That awaits a future day, which we'll talk about next Sunday night. Okay? But what do we have right now? A heavenly calling. And the first century Jewish believers, we'll call them Jewish Christians, also have a part in this heavenly calling, along with the Gentiles. God's calling out of both Jew and Gentile people for his name, and he's given them a heavenly calling. I'm not looking to conquer this earth and take possessions of countries and lands and nations. I'm not interested in getting involved in movements that want to Christianize nations. No. Well, what's wrong with that? It just isn't what we're called to do. We have a heavenly calling. We want to call men and women and boys and girls unto Christ so they can become citizens of heaven, of a better land. I like being a citizen of the United States. I wouldn't want to be in any country in the world right now than this one. But there's a better land than this one. There's a better land. And it's up in heaven. Look at Philippians chapter 3, verse 20. Philippians chapter 3, verse 20. For our conversation is in what, folks? Heaven. From whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And you notice it doesn't say this. For our conversation is in Jerusalem. Or Mount Zion. Or Israel. Or the mountains of Israel. The hills of Israel. No. Our conversation is in heaven. And the word for conversation there has more meaning than just talking to each other. But it has the idea of the way you live and where you live. It's another word for it would be citizenship. For our citizenship is in heaven. From whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body. By the way, your vile body won't be changed till then, by the way. Until then, you're going to have to put up with sickness, disease, cancer, eventually death. Contrary to the Pentecostals and Charismatics who say, no, you should claim healing in the atonement for right now. And if you don't, you're sinning by not claiming that healing. You know, that's wrong. We're having our vile bodies changed. When? At a Benny Hinn convention? You know? John Hagee going to do it for you? Is that Prince guy going to do it for you? By the way, he believes in healing too. No. From whence we look for the Savior. And when he comes, then our bodies are going to be changed. Then we'll know no longer sickness and trouble and disease and problems and eventual death. All right. That it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. By the way, don't worry about the Lord not being able to take care of things and change our vile bodies. He's able to subdue all things. He's able to do it all. And he will. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling. Yes, that heavenly calling which the church enjoys. So, this book of Hebrews is for the church age. Okay? There are those who want to say, no, the book of Hebrews is outside the Pauline epistles and it really isn't good. It's not good information for the church age today. I disagree. I believe a passage like that tells us this book is for people who are part of the church of Jesus Christ. Though they be early first century Christian Jews, they're partakers of a heavenly calling now. And what a wonderful thing it is to see a Jew come to know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior in this present age. It really is a wonderful thing. Because now they really are a Jew. They really are a child of God. Because they've come through God's Son by the way of the cross. And now they're partaking in a body of believers made up of both Jew and Gentile. With a heavenly calling. Go into heaven someday. In fact, we're going to live with him in heaven forever and ever. Consider the apostle and high priest of our profession. Consider Christ Jesus. Boy, you know, if I had a modern Bible, I wouldn't even be able to say it that way. I wouldn't even be able to say, consider Christ Jesus. Maybe it's somebody else this verse is talking about. But there's no doubt about it. Christ Jesus' titles are right in there in your King James Bible. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider. You know, the word consider there means to dwell on. To take a look at and dwell on it. Consider the apostle. An apostle is a sent one. You know, Jesus is sent into this world. He was spoken of by the prophets as one who would come from heaven into this earth. And God will send his son. He's a sent one. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Gave him to us. sent him into this world. Jesus even says of his Father, he sent me here. The Father sent me. And here are mere men on this earth, some very religious, some with very good knowledge of Old Testament scriptures, saying, who do you think you are? To Jesus. Why should we believe in you? And he has to respond and say, the Father sent me. Blasphemy, they'd say. But who's your father? Joseph? The carpenter's son? No, the Father. Abraham's father sent me. Before Abraham was, I am, he said. Oh, boy. The day he talked like that, they picked up stones to stone him to death. He says, for what work do you stone me? They say, no works, but your words. You say that the Father, that you're the Son of the Father. And because of that blasphemy, we stone you. Of course, they never accomplished that because his hour was not yet come. He wasn't going to die by stoning. He was going to die by being a Passover lamb offering at the exact time necessary and the exact manner necessary for a man to give his life for the sins of the whole world. Consider the apostle, the sent one into this world. You know, Moses was also sent by God. Out there in the backside of the desert, there's the burning bush. Moses, take off your shoes. You're on holy ground. Moses, I want you to go and deliver my people. I hear their cries. They come unto me. I want you to go and deliver them. I want you to go and tell Pharaoh, let my people go. Of course, you know how Moses at first didn't think he was really the one that God wanted. No, I'm sending you, Moses. Oh, Moses said to the Lord, but I can't speak good. Don't worry about that. I'll put the words in your mouth. Yeah, but I can't. All right, then. I'll put the words in your mouth. You transfer them over to Aaron and he'll do the speaking. Yeah, he made things hard. Moses made things hard. But Moses was sent by the Lord to go deliver the children of Israel. And Jesus was sent not just to deliver the children of Israel, but to save sinners, both Jew and Gentile alike. And all of us here ought to be saying in our heart, I'm so glad for that. I'm so glad he did that. And the high priest. Consider the apostle, the sent one. That's what apostle means, sent one, okay? And high priest of our profession. The Jews knew that this meant a go-between. So the writer of Hebrews is presenting to these early Christian Jews a better high priest. I want you to consider the apostle and high priest of our profession. The Jews knew that this meant a go-between. Moses was a go-between for Israel. How often did Moses intervene on behalf of the children of Israel when God was angry at times with them? And it says, Moses, stand aside. I'm going to wipe them out and I'll make of you another nation. Oh, Moses. Oh, God, he'd say. What will they say if you do that? What will the nations round about say about you? And it wasn't so much that Moses was concerned with the people as he was about God's own name. God's reputation was at stake here, as far as Moses was concerned. And he intervened and the Lord repented of the evil that he was going to do. He still sent a plague, but he spared the nation because Moses was a go-between for Israel. We all sit here tonight, partakers of the heavenly calling. We're called holy brethren and sisters in the Lord. Why? Because somebody went between us and the Holy Father up in heaven. Somebody went in between and did a job that Moses couldn't even do. And I don't say that in any way to down Moses. If I say it in any way, it's to lift up Christ, okay? It's to lift up Christ. Not to down Moses, to lift up Christ. Of our profession. Consider the apostle and high priest of our profession. You Christian Jews in the first century, you've trusted Christ. You've made a profession in Jesus' name. I hope every one of you here tonight have already made a profession in Jesus Christ. And I hope that profession goes more than just word deep. I hope it goes real deep. And we'll look at verses a little bit further down in the chapter here. Let me just take you down to verse 6. But Christ has a son over his own house, whose house are we, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. And when we get there, we're going to be talking about the doctrine of eternal security, okay? Because this is not talking about if you don't do this, you're going to lose your salvation. It's talking about what real professing people do. They hold fast to the end. They hold fast to the end. You know, I hear people say sometimes, well, I got saved 10 years ago. Well, how about now? How about now? I'm glad to hear that something happened 10 years ago. Is it still going on today in your heart? Because that's what people do who have really professed Christ 10 years ago. They're still going today. They're still loving the Lord. They're still learning more about Him. There's still an insatiable desire. There's reason to doubt when people make professions and you don't see it continuing up to the present day and on into next year and the next year and the next year until they finally drop off in death into the grave. That's what true profession is. Consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus. That refers to Jesus as the anointed one or Messiah. Christ means the anointed one. Messiah. It's the same as the Old Testament word for Messiah. Christ. That's my Savior Jesus. We need to consider Him. Who was faithful to Him that appointed Him. As also Moses was faithful in all his house. We'll start up with this 2 weeks from tonight. Because next week, next Sunday night, we are doing what? Prophecy night, okay? So next Sunday night, we're going to do prophecy. The following Sunday night, we're going to get right into this matter of Jesus in contrast to Moses in their houses that they were to be faithful over. And we want to look at some of the things that Moses did that our Savior would never do. Remember the time when he was told to speak to the rock, right? And he didn't. Well, I'm glad my Savior has no flaws in him at all. No flaws in my Savior at all. That makes him better than Moses. That makes the New Testament, the New Covenant, the better way than the old. And you know, you say, why do we have to preach about it? You know that there are groups today who want to put you and me under the dispensation of the law. They want to put us under the law. Legal things, Sabbath keeping, tithing, keeping commandments, holy days, Sabbath days, circumcision. There are groups still today who want to put you under the law. Some of them put you under their own laws. Some want to put you under dietary laws and everything else. No. No, no. Nope. Jesus is better. He's fulfilled the law. And it's abolished. And now we live new lives in Christ. With a law of liberty inside of us. Governed by that. Not by the law, but by the new covenant. I'll write my laws in their hearts, Jeremiah said. I'm going to put it in their hearts. Not on a table of stone. You notice we don't have the Ten Commandments up here on our walls or anything. You say, I wonder why. It's a church. How come you don't have the Ten Commandments? Because we're not under them. Well, what do you mean? No, we're not under them. We're under the law of liberty in Christ Jesus. And the Holy Spirit of God is to guide us and lead us. I'm not going to put no stones of law on your back to carry around. How's it going, Christian? Well, it's pretty tough. You know, I've got to carry these commandments. Next Sunday morning, his yoke is easy and his burden is light. We're going to look at that next Sunday morning. You know, you don't want to miss going to church, or you're going to miss some teaching that you really need. You need to go to church all the time, every chance you get. I do. I go to church all the time. Well, you better hear the pastor. I don't know. I go because I want to go. I need to go. Yeah, well, you're the one up there doing all the talking. Well, guess what? I have to study this before I do all the talking. So I got to get it myself and then give it to you. So don't be counting yourself out and saying, oh, I don't need to go. Just because the pastor goes, oh, yes, you do. Oh, yes, you do. You need it. You need it as much as I need it. We all need it. All right. Let's see. What else do I need to accomplish here tonight? Guess that's about it. Let's go in the power of the Lord, power of the Holy Spirit. Let's be a witness for Him as we go. Let's pray. Dear God, thank you for the Bible, and help us to consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus. For it's in His name we pray. Amen. You're dismissed.